crucified Christ. That's what this passage speaks about. A crucified Christ that is a stumbling block to people that use human wisdom. But in one way, it's a stumbling block that brings us salvation. How wonderful that is. I've heard people say before, I don't need Christ because that's walking with a crutch. If that's what you want to call it, I want to walk with a crutch for the rest of my life. Amen. In order to grab a hold of this passage and understand what this passage is talking about, we really need to view the cross for what it was, not what it is today. We need to view the cross for what it was, not what it is today. For you see, what it was a disgraceful punishment. Versus today, it's a decoration or jewelry. To understand what Paul is talking about here, we need to understand that the cross was a disgraceful punishment. From the book of Deuteronomy, it says that those that hang upon the cross are cursed. And our Savior hung upon the cross. It was not a capital punishment, by the way. It was not like a firing squad or an electric chair or a gas chamber. It was not meant to try to kill someone quickly. It was meant to be agony. It was meant to be disgrace. They hung there for everybody to see. And in many cases, people that were hung on the cross were hung on the cross for over 3 days before they died. That's why in the passage where Jesus is crucified, and it's the day before the Sabbath, before the sun sets, they go to break the men's legs so that they're not hanging on the cross on the Sabbath. And they broke their legs because no longer then could they push up to get a breath. Because when you're hanging by your hands or your wrist, you can't breathe in. And they would push up upon the nail to breathe in, and then it was so painful that they would let go again. And many times they would hang there for 3 days at least, before they didn't have enough energy to push up anymore. They come to break the legs and find out that Jesus has already died. And they can't believe that. You see, it was a disgraceful thing. It was meant to show that the Romans are in charge. And we will disgrace you at any moment. And the one that many had thought to be the Messiah, the Christ, who was the Messiah, the Christ, hung upon that cross in disgrace. People were mocking him. People were spitting at him. They were casting lots for his clothes. In one way, turning it into jewelry has taken away the understanding of what the cross was. And we need to go back to that. Because, see, even today, there are those who wonder why we reach out to, follow, and serve a crucified Lord. Why do we reach out to this crucified Lord? It doesn't make human logical sense. You mean the one that you call Lord was crucified upon the cross and couldn't stop that? and died there, and you choose to pick that one as your Savior, and you choose to follow that one as your Savior, human wisdom says, we have developed and understand so much on our own that we don't need anything more. Do you realize that? There are many in our society today that say, truth is what I define truth as. And truth for me may be different than truth for you. I guess I want to tell you that's not true. The truth is that our Savior died on the cross for us. And it does not matter whether human wisdom can grab a hold of that and understand that or not. What does Paul say in this passage to the Corinthian church? He says even the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of humans. But yet we have humans in this world that are walking around saying, I don't need anything more. Because we've figured it all out. So the truth is, humanity sees the cross as a stumbling block, not as wisdom. The majority of humanity sees the cross as a stumbling block. That's what Paul is saying in this passage. They see that because you mean your Lord was crucified? Your Lord suffered? Your Lord was beaten? Your Lord was spit upon? It's a stumbling block to them. And if you attempt to use human wisdom to try to understand the process that Jesus went through and why he went through it, you'll not figure it out. We have to trust God. We have to say that that was necessary so that I could live a life in relationship with God. It's not a stumbling block. The Holy Spirit should come within you and should speak to you and explain to you, this is not a stumbling block. This is God's wisdom that's far above anything that humans can think. Amen to that, huh? The cross is God's wisdom, true wisdom. And it is the only way to salvation. It is the only way to salvation. And I know there are people out there that will say it's one way. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there is only one way to the Father, and that is through the Son, Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. People in our society can tell us there's other ways and all you have to do is be faithful to the way that you follow and God will accept. No. The Bible tells us time and time again that the only true wisdom is the cross. It's the only way to salvation. Each person must come to the cross to experience renewal and resurrection. Each person must come to the cross if they want to experience renewal and resurrection. It's the only way. And I know for the most part, as I preach to you today, you guys don't see the cross as a stumbling block. We've given our heart to God and we've followed God so closely for so many years, we don't see this as a stumbling block. But folks, we need to realize there are people in this world that see the cross as a stumbling block. Because when we forget that, it's awful hard for us to communicate the cross to them. Because when we communicate the cross to them, they go, oh, stumbling block. They don't see it as a place where a Savior had great love for us and took upon our sins and died for us. The way to salvation is through the cross. You've got to come to the cross first for salvation, for resurrection, for renewal, for rebirth. And as we walk through this time of Lent, it's a time to look at this cross and say, what did the Savior do for us? And how much did it hurt the Savior to do what needed to be done? That's what we're doing during this time of Lent. But then we should also grab a hold of the fact that this cross is confusing to people who don't know. And we need to find ways to relate to them. And I just want to let you know, the longer that you are a Christian, the tendency is the less number of non-Christian friends you have. I've heard people say it. Pastor, you want us to talk with people about our Savior, but I don't know anybody that doesn't go to church. So we're 10,000 people in this town. Or not quite 10. There's close to 10 now. I'll bet in our churches today, and even watching through the internet, there's not 10,000 people in this town participating and worshiping God. What do you think? And this cross is confusing to them. And we are the folks that got to explain it to them. And if we're going to do that, we've got to come closer to understanding God's wisdom. And stop relying on our own wisdom and our own ways and our own agendas and our own plans and our own programs. It's simply about sharing the cross and helping them to come to the cross and move through it to the empty tomb. Because without the empty tomb, the cross is a stumbling block. What do you mean your Savior's dead? Guess what? My Savior's not dead. 3 days later, my Savior was resurrected. Our Savior was resurrected from the grave and is no longer dead. Amen? Sits at the right hand of God praying for each and every one of us by name. How will we help the world to see that this is not a stumbling block? It's important that we do that. I'm speaking to myself as I bring you this application question. Because by trade, by my first trade and training, I'm a scientist. I'm a person of the book. I'm a scientist that understands science and digs deeper into it to look at it more and more. And to understand it more, I have not stopped studying science my whole life. I want to gain understanding. I want to gain wisdom. But listen to this question that I want to leave with you. Are you still living human wisdom? Are you still living human wisdom instead of trusting the incredible wisdom of God? Are you still trusting human wisdom instead of just living and trusting into the incredible wisdom of God. What does Paul say in this passage? Let me read it for you one more time, just the last piece of this. Verse 25. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Amen. What a wonderful thing. So I ask you, are you still living human wisdom? Instead of trusting the incredible wisdom of God. Let us pray. Lord, we need your wisdom. We need your insight. We need your understanding. Because as the world looks at our Savior, there are many who say the path that he took is a stumbling block. But Lord, we've come to understand by your Holy Spirit that it is not, that it is great and incredible wisdom. May we give ourselves over to it totally and completely. Because, Lord, if we do, you will show us how to help other people see your incredible wisdom in the midst of this world and how it is so much better than what humanity has been able to figure out. So, Lord, we pray that you would guide us in your wisdom, not in our own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.